I've just never seen a lot come from that. But if you'll take God at His word and live on that, you'll have great success. But we need to know what the enemy is about. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." And so you can't be deceived. I mean, it's got to be, you got to look at who's saying it. You got to consider what the Word of God says. And so here we're going to take a look at what Satan says, and then we're going to look at some other places and look at the response. A lot of times we get in trouble. It's not because of what we say, it's what we don't say, when we should be speaking up and we're not saying anything at all. And by not speaking up, we're complacent to what is actually going on, and then we allow something to take place where it's that I should have spoken up. And you can go back and search your own life, and I'll go back and search mine and say, man, I should have spoke up there. I should have said something. Where I just didn't say anything because I just didn't, kept my head down, and we should speak up. Here in chapter number 3 of Genesis, verse 1, we just got done with chapter 2 last week, and looking at the, we talk about the home, we're talking about the family, we're talking about a husband, a wife, a man and a woman, and children that come from that relationship. That is a biblical marriage example. You're not going to find anything else in the Scripture that God says this is good. You're not going to find anything else. Everything else has been tried. Nothing else is going to work. It's interesting to see the three homosexual ladies that started the Black Lives Movement. Their goal was to destroy nucleus family of the black family in America. Destroy the nucleus of it. That was their goal. They've got so much kickback on that. They've taken that down out of their principles. You won't find it now on their online stuff. But it was their plan. And just by looking at that, okay, don't even side with this. Oh well, it's just another type of a family unit. Or you're going to destroy the family? Wow, how about that? Right? That's straight out of Genesis. Right? That is the most anti-God thing. I mean, God before the church is the family here in Genesis chapter 2. That's why it's so important our families matter. So, well, we have a strong church, but we got crummy families. That doesn't make any sense. You have a church as strong as your families are. And if families come into our church and they're struggling, we need to pray for them and help lift them up so they have a strong family. Oh, we need to have this. You have to have a strong family. It has to happen. And inside a family, you have to, in order, husband and wife, then children. I'm not talking about who survives on the island. I'm just saying, if you want it to go well, mom and dad got to be on the same page. And children need to be on the same page as mom and dad, not choose between mom and dad. Too much of that has gone on. It's just a mess if you've ever, everybody's dealt with. You got kids on your sports teams, you got the neighbor kid, whoever, well, this weekend they're with, and then this weekend they're with, right? Think that's fun as a kid? I couldn't imagine doing that. I couldn't imagine. We deal with it. So you got kids, they're good this week. Well, what's wrong with them this week? Well, they were over at so-and-so's house or whatever. So it's just a mess. It's not God's plan. Absolutely not God's plan. And so Satan, he works in that. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to take out the most important targets. We don't have families. We're going to have churches. Could you imagine a church being of individuals, not families? I mean, think, what would that be? A business? I don't know what it would be. The church is a picture, marriage is a picture of the relationship that Christ has with the church. But if we just had individuals come, nobody was married. That would be the oddest thing. Because it's not what God has. And so Satan, he wants to attack that, attack. Here he comes in verse 1 of chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Father, we do thank you for your grace to us. We ask that you would give us wisdom. And Father, we do not want to be deceived. We pray that you'd help us to see from your Scripture the pattern of the devil, the pattern of his attacks. And Father, use your word against him and obey your word. Father, knowing that in our flesh we stand not a chance against him as a foe, but in Christ. But in Christ he can be defeated in our life. Battles won against him and against his kind. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to see that tonight. Pray that you help our young people to really get this lesson tonight and to hear it in their hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, we see that God was in charge of making the serpent. God didn't make Lucifer evil. God made Lucifer, and he chose. God made us, and we chose. We choose. We make a choice. That's our. It's one of the part of God's pattern. God wants us to love him, but God doesn't force us to love him. He wants us to choose to love him. That's what makes marriage special. It's like you get married and you're saying, me, married to her, for all eternity. There's a kajillion other women out there, but they're not to me. There's not. It's like we're done. I mean, it's over. And so that's what God wants us to choose in him, even though we have these other options. That's what love is. The Bible says in verse number 1, he said unto the woman, okay, so he's getting ready to open his mouth. He's going to open his mouth. Yea, hath God said. Okay, so in chapter 1, in verse number 20, chapter 2, verse number 17, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God has spoken to Adam and Eve about what to do, what not to do. Lots of things to do. Lots of things to do. And listen, young people, you want to look for trouble, you'll find it. You don't have to look very hard. But guess what? There's a lot of things to do that are right things to do. I mean, there's enough right things to do to keep you busy that you'd never even like, well, I got nothing else to do, I'm going to get in trouble. No, there's always good things to do. There's always people to help. There's always things to volunteer at. We were looking at in the sports nuts. I can't remember how we got on it. We were it was the ladies' national championship basketball. And we were looking at the roster and stuff, and it was the Stanford girl, right? And she's from Central Valley. She's from Spokane, where my sister-in-law went to school. And man, we were looking at her resume and look at what she did in high school. You don't just show up at Stanford and be like, I want to play basketball. First of all, they say, show us your GPA, show us your SAT score, show us your, I got a 1600. We need like a 1700 to get into places like Stanford, And then it's like, basketball will show me up. And she was a volunteer at all these different places. She coached little kids and all. And she's in high school, 17, 18 years old. She was a giver. I was like, man, that's awesome. That's great. So there's lots of opportunities to do right. There's lots of opportunities to go and give of yourself. It's not just, I'm just throwing that out there, commercial. Okay? All right. So Satan asked the question, yea, if God said. The answer is yes, he did. And you need to say that as soon as possible. You need to open up your mouth, that thing on the front of your face, young people, when somebody challenges either what your parents say or what God says, and say, yes, he did. And then you said, he said it here, right here. This is where he said it. Now, Eve didn't have her Genesis in her pocket there, but her Bible would have been very short, right? Yeah, God said, right here. These ones. I mean, she got over it. Said, this one right there. Yeah, don't even just, And I don't even know if we'll get much further into that tonight as far as Genesis is concerned, because we know what ends up happening here. But Satan asked the question. He didn't come out saying, I'm stronger than God. Because what he needs to do, he knows he can't defeat God, but he can defeat us if he can get us separated from God, from his power. The Bible talks about the weapons of God are mighty through him. We've been talking about that in men's Sunday school class. But if I can get you separated, right? That's how it is. He always works in separation. If I can get you separated from authorities in your life that help you, that give you the right instruction that you need. Solomon told Rehoboam, he said that you have to get away from these counsels that influence you against godly doctrine. You have to refuse to hear those things. You got to get rid of that stuff. You got people talking in your ear and they're trying to lead you away from the truth. They're trying to separate you from it. And we'll see how he begins to work. And so, young people and Christians, everybody, when Satan opens his mouth, yeah, God said, we need to answer. Oh, yes, he did. This is what he said. He said it right here. And don't give him any room. No room. The longer you're quiet and listen, you start taking that stuff in and his poison begins to work. You get snake bitten, you work on it right away. There's not a whole lot of damage. You get snake bitten, you let it sit there and then you let it get in and go around and do its work, you start losing parts of your body. And it starts eating away at you, and it'll eventually get you. It can kill you. And so you want to take care of that right away. Yea, hath God said. So we're going to look at some of the other passages where Satan opens his mouth. Let's go to Job chapter number 1, and then we're going to go to Matthew 4, Luke 4, and then Jude tonight, and we'll be done on time. But I want you to see him work, and to see the consistency of the people that he's working against and how they defeat him, how they have a victory against him. Some people look at him like he's unstoppable. And in the flesh he is. You can't battle in the flesh and win against him. He knows. But if we practice spiritual warfare as God has it planned out, then we will have much success. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Job, we see Job, 40 chapters. We see Job with just a very upstanding man. Job was wealthy. Job was an interesting fellow. He had a large family. Job had many cattle. He had servants. He had all kinds of wealth. But he was godly. He was godly, and he thought about God. God was in his thoughts. He cared about what God thought about him. He cared about what God thought about his family. And I don't believe Job is in Job saying that dirty devil. He's after me, and he's doing that. We don't hear him talk like that, like people would hear. And we want to see what are some of the things that God did in his life. The Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter 1, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan," okay, who's talking to Satan now? God is. Okay? God's talking to him. That's important. You know, if people say, "Oh, I talk to the devil." No, you don't need to do that. Just let the Lord talk to him. Okay, and we'll see that example as we go into Scripture. When you hear people talk about talking to Satan, okay, I just saw on the Alaska Watchman last week, they were doing prayers to Satan down in the Kenai borough at the council meetings, doing that stuff. I called Caleb and say, "Get over there and pray for a preacher." That's a mess. That's terrible. But you have people selling out to that. And what you're saying is, come on in, set up shop here. We don't want you anywhere near here. And we're going to fight you tooth and nail. When you talk, we're going to say, "Nope, God said right here." And we're not going to put up with that. And that's part of the battle. But God is talking to him here. And you let God talk to him. "Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Right? He hated evil. What's Satan about? Evil. He's against him. He's against his cause. He was for God. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" What's Job getting out of this? He's getting protection. And he asks God, he says, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." Because he thought, I mean, Satan has won victory with other men and women in Scripture. And he says, "Boy, if I could just do this." And God agrees. The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." Think about that. If God's willing to do that with Satan, for Job's sake, what is that about your family God's willing to do? Think about that, okay? Just think about that. But God knows that you working through him is enough for you. God doesn't need you to defeat Satan. He already has. He's his creator. But for you to make it, you need God. You need God. And he knows that. And so he gives them permission. He does. We won't read down through all the things that he had lost. Verse 21 of chapter 1. Job says, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither." Now, if you're living for stuff and God starts taking it away, you won't even think about who's taking it away or why it's happening. You're like, "Oh, my stuff," right? That's God's stuff. It's God's. If God's given you anything, I mean, anything you have, he said, it's God's. It's got to be your attitude. If you own stuff and it gets touched, taken, broken, right? Our attitude's not going to be in right towards God. The Bible says the Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. We talked about it this morning. God is a giver. He wants us to be as well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not the reputation of Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? Job's like, "Save Job." No, he's not talking about that. So chapter 2. Think Satan's frustrated? Who's Satan after? Was Satan after his kids? Was Satan after the servants? Was Satan after the camels? Well, Satan after the asses? Is he after all Job's stuff? No, who's he after? God made the challenge. Have you considered Job? Not the camels. Think about all his camels. Yeah, I'm going to take them away. All right, well, he did that. Okay. What about his kids? No, he said Job. You want Job? I mean, he wanted Job. Up and down in the earth. Man, if I could just get Job. Why? Influence. He's way up there. Everybody knows Job. Well, Job turned his back on God. I guess we don't need to worship him either. All right? So Job's the target here. Satan thinks he knows, and God's willing to let him try. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and forth in the earth, from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? And this is after chapter 1. This is after chapter 1. What are you saying? Stuff didn't have Job. Stuff didn't have Job. Perfect, upright, one that feareth God, escheweth evil. Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. That's how wicked the devil is. No cause. Destroy something with no reason at all. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. That's out of his Bible. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Not his stuff! His friends. Life's about relationships. Not with things that can't talk and love you back. Your stuff is not your love. Shouldn't be your love. And Lord help you. Parents, get kids too attached to something. Take that thing away. Put it up here. And let them see how it works. If I can't look at it, I can't think about it. If I can't think about it, I won't end up doing it. And I'll just, my draw to it kind of just like, oh, I forgot all about it. Funny how that works. Yeah, funny how that works. It should be people. Should be relationships we have. Skin for skin. He'll save his skin, Lord. He says, verse number 5. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone. Why his bone? What goes on in our bones? Well, our blood cells are made, right? Our bones go bad, things get bad in a hurry. You get bone cancer, that is not good. Because it's like at the root of where your blood is. You say, well, what's so important about the blood? It goes everywhere. Something gets bad in the blood. It's going all over the place. Quickly, quickly. Touch his bone and his flesh. He'll curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You can't kill him. Can't kill him. Can't kill him. Oh, what about me? What about my health? Right? I mean, here Eve is in the garden. The Bible talked about all the trees, and it's the same in chapter 3. Pleasant to the eyes. It almost rhymes. Pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, the Bible says. Ooh, right? But the Bible says the same thing about all the other trees. They're all pleasant to the eyes. All of them. I said, wow, what? Awesome, wonderful. A tree to be desired to make one wise. Me, make myself better, to make me better. And he's saying, if you touch him, okay, don't kill him. Verse 6, Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, save his life. 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils. He doesn't even get out of the verse there, and he's already on Job, right? Just boom. Sore boils. Sole of his foot under his crown. And he took him a potsherd, described himself withal, sat down among the ashes. Does Job see Satan working here? We see it because we're reading it. Does Job see any of that? All right, now put yourself where Job is. And you got this stuff happening. Is anywhere in the Scripture God says, and when this happens, you need to blame. And when this happens, you need to blame this group of people. People want to blame all the time. Nobody wants to just say, well, there is no blame. What? There to be blame. Something bad happened. There must be blame. Must be. No. Not the sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants. He made me. He can do what he wants. People, boy, they want to crawl underneath that authority so fast and they're going to be able to blame somebody. He doesn't see Satan working, but he loves the Lord. And he knows. He knows. He's seen people get sick. He's seen people get sick and die. I'm sure he had. And he said, I'm like them. Maybe this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get sick and die. It's just interesting how all this stuff has come together all at once, and everything was going good. Okay, now Job is not he's not impervious to the ups and downs. Right, he gets down in the gutter a little bit, and his friends pile on him. One of his friends in chapter 4. Even as I've seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. I mean, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're reaping it, Job. We just haven't seen your wickedness. You must be doing it at night somewhere because we just haven't seen it all the rest of the time. And it wasn't true. It wasn't true. Job was doing the right thing. The Bible says he was upright and he was a righteous. He was perfect. In a sense, he was a spiritually mature man. And so that wasn't it because his friend's piling on. He's going up and down, but he's not blaming. Right? He's not blaming. What was Job's fault? That he kept his integrity, that he didn't blame God. That was his, you know, his wife would look at him and say, "This, what's wrong with you? Curse God and die." And he didn't do it. So we have Satan talking to Eve. We have Satan talking to the Lord. We have the Lord talking to Satan. Have we seen any part in there where we need to try to do anything in our own power? I mean, Eve did not answer in God's word, and she received defeat. Here's Job just doing what he knows to do. Trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. It is an awesome book. It's an awesome book. We're going to go to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. In Matthew 4, and Luke 4 are pretty near the same. Parallel passages, Luke 4, 1 through 13, and Matthew 4. It's just nice that they both made chapter 4s in their respective Gospels, so you can remember that. Then was Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 4, Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So it's not about the flesh. Well, if I'm really strong, then I can take on the devil. It's not about the flesh. Jesus is going to show us. The Bible says he afterward hungered, verse 2. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Okay. Now notice this. He strikes at his title right away. "Oh, you're a real man?" Right now, it's usually the beginning. Something dumb's going to happen. "Yeah, I'm a man. I'll show you I'm a man." You know, "My dad beat your dad," or whatever. I mean, it goes downhill from there, right? Because we start defending ourselves. Jesus didn't do it. He points back to God. He points back to God. Just like Eve, we're supposed to point back to the Word of God. And Jesus answers, verse 4, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Right away, we need to answer the devil with Scripture. We need to answer Antichrist stuff with the Word of God and shine the gospel light on that thing and make it go. Are you going to destroy it? No, you're not going to destroy it. It's not your job. That's God's job. But we're to occupy and we're to keep the heat on these things. We can't just stand by and let it go. We can't do it. And be Christians, we can't. Or, I mean, you're only going to complain about what's going on. We have the answers. The answer is to practice the Word of God. The answer is to preach the Word of God. The answer is to see the next generation grow up. Have a working, practical Christianity. I could care less about the fluff. I could give a rip. Does it work? I have a pocket knife. It works, bless God. I've been carrying it since I was 9 years old, maybe eight years old. Now, not the same one. TSA has one. There's one in my closet that was the original. I keep buying the same one, and the Swiss keep making it. I love this thing. It's wonderful. Why? Because it works. I've used it for all kinds of things. It works. It is just great. It works. Your Christianity needs to work. Oh, I go to church. Does it work for you? Well, I go to church. Right? have a walk with God. I talk to the Lord. He helps me. I'm not in the office all the time getting help because the Lord helps me. The Word of God helps me. I get from the Bible. It needs to work. It needs to be practical. You need to have a working Christianity in your life. Jesus answers him with the Word of God. Young people want to make fun of the Bible. You don't have to defend it. God's the one that wrote it. Just remind them who wrote it. Hey, I didn't write it. God wrote it. Oh, no, man wrote it. We shall see. And you just keep quoting and keep going and show them. Got to keep going. The flesh and blood isn't your enemy. It's these ideas that Satan has. Verse 5, the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, oh, I'm the Son of God, all right, I'll prove it to you, right? No, he doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. So he's going to do what God says. I'm going to quote some scripture. You shall give his angels charge concerning thee, right? Now, if you go back and look at the passage, he only quotes half the verse, which is typical of people who want to dabble in the world and in church. They'll quote half the verse to justify half of what they're living, and they'll live the other part how they want to. And they're like, oh, we'll just mix a little bit of the world and a little bit of Jesus in there, and it's all good. No, it's not going to be all good. It doesn't work here. And Jesus puts it to him again. The Bible says in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written. Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, using scripture right away. Let's not wait. Let's not wait. Let's not wait. Let's get after him right away. Again, the devil taketh him up. This is round 3. Exceeding high mountain, him showeth all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Saith unto to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And we know who we're supposed to worship. We're not supposed to worship stuff. We're not supposed to worship self. We're supposed to worship God till the day we die. And your dying breath would be, praise the Lord. I mean, not, I'm glad I had a long life. No! In the scheme of things, our life? No! God. God. God living in our life. What is our life without God? A miserable, wretched existence. Go back to Job and look at it. Man's days, okay? Short and full of trouble, right? Man. But God. And so we see that we're supposed to worship him. Satan says, I want you to worship me. But by the way, it's the same pitch he gives all the athletes. It's the same pitch that he gives all the Hollywood people. And they sell. And they get paid right now. And they're going to pay later. And they're going to pay for a long time. You don't want to sell out to him. You don't want to do it. There's example after example. They start in the Disney programs. They grow up singing. They're the next this. They find them in the talent shows. They wreck their lives by 13. They don't even want to live anymore. Most of them die overdose on drugs. They take their life. They do something terrible. It's like, man, they had everything going for them. Yeah, but they sold themselves out. And nothing to live for no more but self. If you live for self, you're going to die miserable. If you live for God and you live for others, you're going to have joy in your life. Life will be exciting, right? You're still going to break down, but life's going to be exciting. It's going to be good. It's going to be worth living. Satan doesn't have that kind of life. He just ruins lives. He's miserable. Absolutely. Jesus saith, verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Okay? Get thee hence, Satan. Anything that goes against Scripture should get that from you. Even your heart or in your mind. Get it out of here. Don't wait. Something comes on the program or whatever and it's sent to anti-Bible. Get it off! Don't let, well, you know, it's just a commercial. Get it off! Just get it off! You need to stand up and say, no more! I'm done with this stuff! Can't take it! It is not happening! I'm not going to rode away little pieces at a time and watch my soul just get crunched up because I'm saying, well, I'm going to sit and just take it. No, I'm not. Nope. No. We're standing for godly principles. We're in practice Christianity in the last days, and it's going to be exciting. It's not going to be easy. It may not be fun all the time, but it's going to be the right thing to do. And all the backlash, all the yelling, and people getting up and yelling in people's face, I was like, whatever. We have heaven to look forward to, and we are doing the right thing here now. Verse 11, the Bible says, then the devil leaveth him. And not the other way around. Who got put to it? The devil did because he was wrong. And so we see, when Satan talks, we need to answer with Scripture. We need to answer with Scripture right away, as soon as possible. The Bible says the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Then we're going to go to Jude. Tonight we'll be done. Go to Jude. Yes, God said, maybe the next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll be able to finish chapter 3 of Genesis, or at least get in there and look at it. Satan's no match for the Scripture. He's no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you on your best day don't stand a chance, neither do I. That's why we need to use the Scripture. The Bible says in James, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say overpower him. It doesn't say you cast down his thoughts. You cast down the imaginations that he puts forth that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge. You do those parts. And he says, man, I'm going to waste my time. I'm going to go find somebody else. I'm going to go work on somebody else. Look here at some of the history here of the angels here. Verse number 5 of Jude. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. That's why it's so important. You have your own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was part of a Christian family. Yeah, but you weren't one yourself. Oh, we came out of Egypt. We're all good. So I'm a Jew and I came out of Egypt and that makes me good. No. No. Trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. They did not believe. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate. Well, what makes you good? I'm an angel. Not a good one, right? You didn't keep your first estate. You didn't do the things that God had for you first. What a neat job. I mean, we don't see a ton about angels, but we see enough in the Bible to see they have a very interesting job. They do a lot of fighting, by the way. They do a lot of singing, too, but it's nothing like you see that the world makes up. They're very tough, very rugged. The Bible says these angels, they didn't keep their first estate. The Bible says, but left their own habitation. Okay? Their choice. You have a choice. Am I going to obey God? Okay? Now, young people, you say, well, I'm going to obey my parents, but as soon as I get out of the house, I'm out of here. Yeah, go ahead. You can make that choice. Go ahead. We'll give you some books to read. Oh, no, we'll just take you to some places. We'll start at the juvenile detention center. Right, where people start. Then we'll go out to Kinnick Goose Bay. And then we'll go down to Seward. We'll show you some of these people. Oh, I ain't going to listen to my parents. I'm going to get out. And I'm like, well, does everybody go to prison? No, some of them end up dead before they get there. I mean, it's just a real blessing, right? Or so strung out on drugs and you think, oh, I'm just going to chase and do whatever I want. Don't do that. When you're going down a road, it's best to talk to people that have been down the road just a little ways. Especially when you don't know. Say, well, what's this like? Your parents want to help you, believe it or not. Believe it or not, they want to help you. Do the right thing. Go the right way. But they just want to control me. It may seem like that at times. We really want to help you. The angels made a choice. They wanted out. The Bible says in verse number 6, this is for angels that he made to serve him in heaven. The Lord does this. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. They're locked up in darkness right now. And verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over. It's to make a choice. That's just the absolute gut wrench of our country. People choose to do this. And you can't make up other people's minds. We just have to keep the truth. Keep the truth. Live the truth. Talk the truth. Be the truth. Do these things. And commercial break. Not our own truth. You got to watch out. Oh, I'm just going to speak my truth. You got to listen to people. Oh, let's hear it. Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. All right. No, that ain't working. Go ahead and speak your truth. That's another way of speaking your opinion. It's stupidity. Can't stand the stupidity. Oh, I'm just going to change the word and confuse you so you don't understand. Play stupid. I do it. It works all the time. Well, I'm really slow. Can you explain that for me? Your truth. So that's just like, it's kind of like what you think. It almost sounds like it's your opinion. Oh, but I'm not very smart. Am I way off on this? Right? Then I get that frustrated look like, yeah, you're pretty close. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, let's go ahead and hear what you think is right. Versus what we think is right. My truth. Give me a break. Unbelievable. But they play that game. They like doing that because they're smarter, right? No, not really. You just change words. You got a big dictionary, but we'll figure it out. All right. Verse number 8. Oh, we didn't finish 7. Okay. Sodom and Gomorrah was an example. And it's not some Bible fairy tale. There is a place where there used to be cities, where there used to be people. There's nothing left but charred earth and brimstone. You can go there and pick up brimstone. It's there on the ground. It is a place that is no more because they gave themselves over. The Bible says to fornication. Okay, our earth, we're full of this stuff, right? Fornication, going after strange flesh. Okay, I won't, with kids up here tonight, we'll go into that, talking about sexual sins. Set forth for an example, suffering and a vengeance and eternal fire. Oh boy, sign me up! Not really. Not really. It's going to be a mess. What legacy are you going to leave? Well, God used me as an example, and he had to prove it to Satan. What happened to you? Well, I lost all my kids. I lost all my cattle. I got boils, but I didn't die. I lived through the thing, bless God. And what happened in the end? Well, God brought me through. I prayed for my friends. He delivered me. And I have more children than I have before. And all was well. Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to you, sir? Oh, well, I choose to live my own life. They're like, well, who's this? Well, that's my husband, but you're a man too. I know, but we just kind of do what we do, you know? And those are neighbors, and they're the same as us. And you come back, and there's nothing left. What happened? Right? I'm not saying you're not going to go through hard times. Job went through some extremely hard times, but he went through it with the Lord. He went through it with the right attitude. God brought me in. God can take me out. God can do with me what he wants. Now, I'll come here and do whatever I want, like the people of Sodom. Bible says everlasting. Bible says example, suffering and vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 8, likewise, also. And look, okay, verse 8. These filthy what? Dreamers, okay? These imaginations. It all starts with your thinking. The devil wants to dump these dirty thoughts in there. Oh, I wonder what this will be like. I wonder what. Cast it down! If it's against the Word of God, and you know it is, don't sit there and listen to it. Yeah, did God really say that? Yes, he did! Well, I'm ignorant. Then do a Bible study and get in there and find it. Oh, I don't read the Old Testament. Get in there and find it, wherever it's at. Find that and see. God says he cares. He knows. He's not going to leave you here and say, well, I don't really have a Bible for that. Sorry. Forgot that part. No. You got to want to. You got to make that choice. Filthy dreamers. I don't even like the ideas of that stuff. I try to attack that stuff. I know I probably... I'm set, you know, rabid about that sometimes with my kids because they say something and I jump on it like right now. Like, no. Not... Well, you know, probably not the best idea. I don't have the school counselor approach. I have the executioner approach. You know, let's kill that right now, and then we'll look at it and tell you what it was. You know, I said, that was going to be really bad right there. You know, well, you know, I'm not into petting things, so let's kill it right now. Get it out of here. Filthy dreamers defile, what's the Bible say? The flesh. What else do they do? They despise dominion. There's things that God told us to have dominion over. They think, nope, shouldn't have it. Relationships are all messed up. And the Bible says they speak evil of who? Dignities. Okay? They destroy authority figures. Destroy them. Right? Well, if I can create in my mind that God's not my authority, I live however I want. And that's how they do. That's how they live. And again, it's not us. It's not our authority structure, it's the Lord. We're trying to point people back to God. In verse number 9, we'll be done. Here's the angel, the devil again speaking, and we have Michael here in verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. This is one of those verses in the Bible. There'd be books written about it, and there's hardly anything here. But the body of Moses. So Moses has died. And there's no place. Moses was buried in a place where, you know, if God buried him or what happened. But he's buried him in a place where people couldn't go and worship Moses' grave, where they couldn't go and make pilgrimages to Moses' grave. Moses was the patriarch of the Old Testament. He would have been, I mean, he led God's people out of Egypt. He got them going the right way. He made intercession for them when God wanted to destroy them. I mean, he was the man. Great leader. God knew that. And that's part of what people think. There's this this dispute between Michael and Moses. But look what it says in 9. We'll be done. Michael durst not bring against him a railing accusation. He didn't say anything against Satan. What did he say? The Lord rebuked thee. He puts him right back against the Lord again. Eve should have put him right back up against the Word of God again. And you need to put him right back up against the Word of God again. You need to have the Word of God in your heart. You got to have it ready. I hate walking out of the house without this in my pocket. I need this more than my phone. I need it more than my wallet. Now, the state says I need my wallet because it's got my driver's license in it. But other than that, that's like, I need this. I know. I could cut somebody free of something. I know I could almost feel bad walking to school, but I said, man, I might need that, though. I might need to like be able to. I work on equipment. I work on helmets with it. I do backpack. I do all kinds of stuff with it. Use it for all sorts of stuff. And I have the Word of God. I got to pack my Bible around everywhere. Hey, right here. If it's not functional for you, what good is it? What good is it? Well, I got my Bible. What's it say? Well, you know, it's like, got a, you know, whatever many $1,000 car. It has a manual. I can't tell you what it says on the cover of the manual. I mean, I'll bet $5 it has the model of the car on there. What's it say on page? I don't know. I'll get in there when I have to. Problem is with Christianity, that's how a lot of people are with their spiritual life. I'll get in there when I have to. When my kid says, see ya, what's wrong, preacher? What's wrong? Letting them eat slop. Gave them their inheritance right off the bat instead of told them they're spoiled little brats and whoop their bottoms and put them in their place because you listen to the world. Don't do that. Something terrible may happen. Yeah, they might turn out right. Bless God. The Bible says you can get after your kids. You're not going to kill them. The Bible says you'll save them from those things. I just don't believe. I'm for the book. I deal with a lot of people's kids. It's always the same. They disrespect authority. Okay? Because somebody says, well, why do I have to? Now, hey, I'm for explaining. I don't mind explaining. Sometimes they get spanked, then they get an explaining, right? Or whatever. But say, now listen, okay? This is why. You join the military and you go ahead and say that. You stick your head up at the wrong time, you're going to lose it. Right? You'll be in a box. You'll be in a shorter box. There'll be no head attached to your shoulders. You need to listen to people that are over you. You need to listen. It's not that we're smart. It's just we've down the road a little bit further than you. You need to respect authority. You need to listen. You don't have to think I'm a great. It's not about that. You need to listen. You need to do those things. Is that easy? No, it's parenting. Parenting's not easy. It's hard work. You have to fight to do it. I mean, look what this does. I'm not against the school. I am, but I'm not. But I mean, when you talk about critical race theory, that kind of stuff, get in there and look and see what it is. It's insane. That people that aren't a certain skin color or this way or people aren't, they. I mean, it is. It's a mess. Teach them to love everybody. Because why? Because God does. Not because this is what's against this. No, because they're against. They don't come out and say, we're anti-God. Some of them will. But most of them try to play it off nice and say, well, we're for this. And they use the word progressive. Progressive sounds better than Antichrist. Antichrist posters are hard to sell. Antichrist t-shirts and stuff. Well, let's say, well, we're progressive. You know, not the insurance either. We're this. We're moving forward. We're getting down the road. And the Green New Deal and really calling it infrastructure and all this stuff. And you look at it, you say, what is this? Oh, they're still, oh. Okay, repackage. And the devil just, let's purdy it up and repackage. Did God really say that? Yes, he did. Oh, no, they're still here. Let's go over here. And he's just waiting for generations like, what? God who? Nice. I'm going to move in and I'm just going to own this place. Not on our watch. You think about all the people that have had their heads severed, that have been, I mean, just for Christianity, for all of history. And no, we're not doing that. No, we're not for infant baptism. Well, you're going to lose your life. Okay, we're not for it. You can't get salvation by paying off a priest. There's no way. Well, you're going to lose your life. We're not for it. Go for it. Well, yeah, well, what'd you guys do in your day? Well, we just, you know, kind of cowered and were afraid. No, We need to stand up for truth. We need to stand up and support people that are for the truth. That's why I was asking about the mayor tonight, because I don't know that much about them. I mean, you get somebody that's halfway decent, that's halfway, I mean, and again, right? We're Christian. That could mean anything, right? We're lump it. Whatever. Somebody says they're pro-family. You got my ears perked up a little bit. You know? Oh, I can't believe that this police officer, he shot this young man. And we're telling my wife, come in. What's he doing on the street at night? What's out there at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? At night, going on that's good out there that my young person needs to be out there and not in bed. So he can pass his math test in the morning. Oh, we ain't really for school either. We're not for this either. We're not. It's a parenting problem. We're going to get rid of all police. I thought we were going to be late tonight. We come around the corner on the Old Glen, and there's a trooper running up the road. Man, he's setting flares down, and slow down. He let us go. We get around the corner. There's a car pulled over in the ditch. He didn't wreck, but it looked like somebody had a medical issue, right? And they're just nosing the ditch, and there's fire truck and people helping. I told the kids, it's like, we need these people helping us. That we got to have them. They help people. I hope they help save that person's life. The young people need to listen to their parents. They need to listen to authorities. Oh, I can't believe he got shot. We have a gun at night, and you're out in the middle of wherever, and you're doing the wrong thing, and you end up... Don't put yourself in that position. I mean, why would you do that? Well, we just let them do what they want, and they should be okay. No, it's not going to work that way. He walks out in the street and gets hit by a drunk driver instead of getting shot, and he'd be like, well, that's different. He shouldn't be out there. What are we doing? Be a parent. The problem is there's no parents, right? A lot of those communities, there's none. We need this program. We need to promote family and tell these rotten deadbeats quit siring children and be fathers. Do your job. You can't legislate morality. You can only legislate against it. You have to make the choice to do the right thing. And when I hear people saying the right thing, like, we need to promote family, I'm like, hey, you know, you may be way off, but that's going to take a lot of work to do that. And I'm for you. I'm for that. We need to promote family. We need to promote marriage. Why? Because they're Bible. The Antichrist is against those things. Tears down the family. It's going after God's Word in chapter 3. Mercy. Can my kid have a Bible at school? You bet. You bet. Now when teacher's teaching, you can't stand up and start preaching. You wait till recess or wait till wherever, but you bet. Well, I had a teacher and they said, let me know, right? We'll go down and have a talk and say, no, you can have the Bible. You can do these things. When people don't push back and they just kind of like, I don't talk about being ugly, but you got to answer the devil when the devil speaks. Devil speaks through people. Devil spoke through Peter. Oh, Lord, Lord, don't let it happen. He said, get behind me, Satan. The same thing he said to Satan. Why? Because the talk was anti-Christ. Get it behind me. It's important. It's important. This isn't just a tonight message. This is a every day we got to do these things. We hear that thing come out. No. The Word of God says different. Bless God. We got to be willing to do those things. Let's stand tonight. We'll have our invitation song. Yeah, if God said, you bet He did. You bet He did. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, 281. Altar's open if you need to pray tonight.